We've been talking about the gubernatorial race here in New York State. Of course, Election Day is coming closer and closer. It's a little more than a little less than 2 weeks away on Tuesday, the 4th of November, of course. Last night, you may have caught the what they call the televised debate out of Buffalo, where the four candidates for governor faced off with one another. Libertarian Michael McDermott, Andrew Cuomo, of course, the Democratic governor of New York, Rob Astorino, the Republican aspiring, the one who really was taking a lot of pot shots and jabs at the governor himself and generally ignoring the rest of the panel. And also there was Howie Hawkins, who is the Green Party candidate for governor. And he's joining us on the line right now from Syracuse, New York, where he's from. And really appreciate your time this morning because I know it was a long trip for you to get from Buffalo to Syracuse, and it was probably a long night as well. Thank you so much for being with us, Howie Hawkins.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
First of all, your thoughts. Again, I had trouble finding it, referring to it as a debate, to be perfectly honest, was tricky for me as I sat through it. But your thoughts about what occurred last night in Buffalo?
Well, it seemed to be over before it really got started. There are so many issues that were not covered. I mean, when I got to my closing comments, I said I wish this was the first of many debates because we didn't touch on a lot of important issues, and you know, just a minute response to the issues we did talk about is hardly sufficient to really explore those issues.
It was very, very, very brief, and it seemed like not to mention that it seems like any time a important question, especially if the governor was asked, there was a nice way of kind of skirting the issues. But you know, I was reading the latest polls that I guess came out yesterday that says that you're ranging between 9 and 10% of the vote right now, which is certainly going to set back Governor Cuomo's you know, plans to have a landslide victory come on November 4th. Your thoughts about how you see the momentum, the reaction to your candidacy as you travel around the state leading up to Election Day?
Well, the first time I was included in a poll, I was at 4%. That was in June. And it was 6, 6, 7, 6, 7, 6, 9, 7, 9, 9. So it's up. And in recent couple of weeks, we've started getting the endorsements of local teachers unions and a number of Democratic clubs in New York City, all of which have never endorsed a third party candidate before. So I think that's a good indication. I sort of have everybody right where I want them. Astorino seems to have hit a ceiling, can't go above about a third of the vote. I don't think a Republican is going to do that in any of these races this year, and that's just, you know, where New York is at. And so people are asking themselves, do I, you know, vote for the Democrat even though he's so conservative, or do I go for the progressive on the ballot, the Green Party candidate? And more people are deciding, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, because I like to say, you know, Governor Cuomo is probably my best campaign worker, given his record. He's alienated public workers at the state level and the local level by freezing pay and adding a sixth pension tier. Right after Patterson got a fifth pension tier, all of them reduced benefits. The school funding has been cut, and they balanced the budget by cutting school funding, which has alienated teachers especially, but also parents and school districts in the inner city and rural areas who are having to lay off teachers and other staff and programs, cut programs. And then the people that want to protect New York from fracking and go to clean energy. You know, Cuomo's had 4 years, and he's sitting on the fence waiting for the election to be over. And everybody in that movement's pretty sure right after the election he's going to permit fracking, because that's probably that will be an unpopular decision with the people, even if the oil and gas industry likes it. And so if he wins, he'll want to get that out of the way soon. So by the time that he runs for office again, it will hopefully be forgotten from his point of view. Mm-hmm. So all those people are coming my way, and So that's encouraging.
I want to talk about all those issues. I think Michael and I both want to get into each one of those areas that you touched: education, the fracking issue, economic development. But one of the issues that came up yesterday, in fact, we played an excerpt from it earlier on the program this morning, when Juan González asked the governor, and all of you also responded, related to the corruption in the administration and in New York politics, New York State politics in Albany, talking about the Moreland Commission and Cuomo's apparent manipulation of that commission. You had a very interesting response that goes beyond simply looking at this issue of how this commission has been perhaps manipulated by the Cuomo administration. Could you give us your sense about this issue of corruption in Albany?
Well, I tried to answer all the questions by saying what I would do, as opposed to saying what was wrong with the other guys most of the time. So I said I would re-impanel a Moreland Commission on Public Corruption and let it follow through and complete its investigation, and that would complement what the U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara is doing. I said we need a system of full public campaign financing, not the partial system with matching funds, which is partially modeled on New York City's system, except unlike New York City, it doesn't cap the amount of private money you can raise if you opt into the public matching fund system. It allows unlimited private financing, which means you're putting a little public money on the same old system, and it's a reform that doesn't really reform. And the third thing I would do is make the legislature full-time and not allow them to take outside income. And I ran out of time. I mean, I started talking about that at 50 seconds, and you only got 60. But the problem there is too many of these legislators, they're working part-time. They're down there for a couple days a month, for a few months of the year, and they're getting a nice $80,000 salary, but they're also getting outside income, often from law firms where they don't do any legal work. They're basically getting no-show consultancies, and their real purpose is to open the doors of Albany to lobbyists, clients of these law firms. So Sheldon Silver's getting over $600,000 from a law firm. Joe Bruno, the former Senate leader, used to get $20,000 a month for a no-show job, and that really feeds into that pay-to-play culture that is the root of, and some of that pay-to-play is legal, but it's wrong, because it may be technically legal, but it's corrupting. So those were my three positive things. I did get to point out in a follow-up that, Governor Cuomo was asked, was the commission independent? And I pointed out, well, he said it was independent, but then when he shut it down, he said, I can shut it down because it's mine. Which is it? He hasn't been consistent on that.
Howie Hawkins, one of the questions that came up last night was about this Buffalo Bills stadium upstate and the financing for the stadium. Now, it might not mean a lot to us, those of us here in the five boroughs, but certainly to many up in that area of the state are interested in that. And you spoke about the ownership and so on. Just tell us, for those who didn't get a chance to see the debate last night, what's your stance on that?
Well, the question was, should the state give money so the Bills can build a new stadium? And I said, the man that just bought it, Terry Pegula, is a billionaire. He's got plenty of money. He can probably finance it himself. But if the state really needs to step in, we shouldn't just give them the money like we do with all this corporate welfare. We should take an ownership stake. And, if it makes money, our risk will be rewarded, instead of just giving the money and hoping we get it back someday through increased tax revenues. And what that would do, like the way the Green Bay Packers are owned, is anchor the ownership of the Bills to Buffalo so it could never move.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Pegula, who bought it, he could move it because he owns it. Even though he's from Buffalo, he's a businessman. He made his money in fracking. Smart business guy. He got out while gas prices were at their peak, and that's where he got his money to buy the Bills. So, if we're going to go in, we should be just like any other investor and get an equity position so we can look at the books, have management rights as well as income rights to profits.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are many things that were talked about last night, and I agree with Mario that 60 seconds is just not enough time to flesh out these topics. They're complex. The voters want to know about them, and they may not know who you are or the other candidates. They may only know who Astorino is and who Cuomo is. so they really didn't have the chance to understand where you are, what your position are, what your position is on some of these issues. Now, you also talked about one of the other questions was about marijuana prohibition. What is your position on the legalization of marijuana in New York State?
Well, I talked about this last night. We should legalize, tax, and regulate it like Colorado and Washington are doing, and that it's really an irrational law. I don't know if I said it last night, but, you know, I've never run into anybody with marijuana muscles on the street. I have run into people with beer muscles who are antagonistic. And alcohol is probably a more dangerous drug in terms of how many people are debilitated by it. So to put tens of thousands of people in prison for possession of small amounts of marijuana,